Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, live from Danger Studios in Simpsonville, South Carolina. Anyway, we have a great show today, by the way, because sometimes the gods give you just topics of things that have happened and have happened and are happening. And you get two really funny people to share this day with you. My first guest is fellow comedian, very funny man, Mr. Greg Wilson. And of course, my longtime friend and fellow comedian and actor, Mr. Adam Murray. What's up, fellas? Welcome to the show.
How are you, man? Good to see you.
Oh, it's great to see you folks. Isn't that great? Like, when there's so many things we're going to talk about on today's show that sometimes it's just stories that you can just have fun with. You go on get on any stage as an opening act, as an opening couple minutes, you can just, if you hear about what happened, and the story that's out there. So it's just great. I'm so happy that we have such great things to talk about from our fellow countrymen.
I've never been a big current event comic on stage, but I do love the round table assault on them. This is always fun.
Yeah. Well, of course, that'll be part of our segment, the news is a joke. We're all ready. For those new to the show, since we're on a new network, the second half of the show, we go, the news is a joke, and we talk about stories and make them funny. Just like you're in a writer's meeting, somewhere in SNL or let's make something funny out of it. How you doing, Adam, Mr. Actor? Big things happening for this guy, TV shows. You guys are pretty successful actors.
I'm doing all right. I'm really I'm loving my move to Atlanta. I think that was the best thing I've ever done for my career. So.
There's a ton of stuff that's happening right now in Atlanta. That town's hot. Hot Atlanta.
Yeah, before the pandemic, they said something like 52% of all filming in the entire country was happening here. But when LA didn't open back up, but Atlanta did, I think a lot of it really shifted this way. I mean, they're expanding Pinewood Studios by 1,000 acres. Like they're adding condos and shops and all sorts of stuff. So like people that go there to film projects don't even have to leave. It's crazy what's happening here.
You know what's actually building studios and stuff is Austin, Texas. They're looking to take over some of that overflow from California. You still live there. You live there, Greg. Are you nervous that, California with everything going on and you're okay? You're never going to leave LA, are you?
No. even though a lot of stuff is produced in Canada and produced in Atlanta, most of the major casting is still done here. So I'll probably always still have to be here. Now it has grown. It is something that, a lot of it is initially self-tapes that you send in, series regular roles. And because of that, some of that you could be more remote than you used to, but I feel like it's going to come more back into the in-person stuff more than it's going to stay on self-taping here after a while. I would hope so. I think that's the direction it's headed, but right now a lot of it can still be done remotely.
Yeah. A buddy of mine he's a series regular on Hawkeye and he booked it out of Orlando with a self-tape.
Exactly. Cause you can self-tape and submit.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. Wow. But I guarantee you it probably went to a casting director that's based right here in Los Angeles. So, it depends on how the show wants to work. And a lot of shows are still shot here. I mean, last month I shot that HBO show Barry, the Bill Hader show. And then I also shot, Pete Holmes' new sitcom for CBS. So there's still a lot of the big stuff is still happening here in Los Angeles. I'm very stoked and I actually always feel very lucky to be a part of it.
Awesome. What you guys are doing?
Barry is such a great show.
Isn't it a great show? And it's not the biggest role, but I mean, it was one of those ones where my agent is like, but this is one of those shows that everybody, and I'm like, oh, no, I'll do it. I absolutely want to do it. I love this. And here's the thing, though. I'll tell you a story. I get there, and of course, the episode is directed by Bill Hader. So I'm like, I can't sleep the night before. I'm like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to, get my coffee, get a good stretch. I want to be fresh. I want to meet Bill. And I get there, and, we're going through wardrobe and getting the hair done, and I play a police officer, so I'm wearing, I gotta wear the whole costume plus the gun belt, the whole thing. And And I'm waiting for Bill, and the other actor that I'm starring in the scene with comes in, and we rehearse our dialogue, we have our whole exchange, blah blah blah, and I'm like waiting for Bill, I'm waiting for Bill, and then the second AD directs the background, and I'm like, okay, so Bill's got to be coming pretty soon, and then the guy's like, all right, let's go ahead and shoot one, and I'm like, okay, all right, I guess maybe he's at Video Village, I guess it's at Video Village, you know, and so we shoot one, and they're like, okay, that was pretty good, let's get the reverse, so we do a couple takes, do a couple takes in reverse, we're like, okay, great, guys, that was fantastic, okay, we're just gonna do one more, get that, you know, whatever you guys want to do, so we do it again and everything, and they're like, all right, great, that's a wrap on Greg, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so where's Bill? And they go, I swear to God, he looks at me and so casually goes, oh, he'll be here this afternoon.
Yeah.
I thought when you direct a show, you do. Apparently, you know, he could be like, you know what, Steve, you got it. You know what? It's a tiny scene between, you know, it's just the scene between that idiot and that idiot. So I'll be there in the afternoon. Like, well, I guess also maybe when you star in it too, you're looking for opportunities to get some rest points. But yeah. I can't tell you how much I was just like, so
You know, Greg, listen, you guys are more involved with this than I am, but I'd imagine the minute I didn't see that director chair with, you know, his name on the back of it, I would have figured he's not going to be there.
Oh, no, the chair was there.
It was. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the chair was there. Bill wasn't. Nobody sat in the fucking chair. So, and again, chair, man. Yeah, it was. So, obviously, he was fine with his DP shooting him.
Dude, you know, somebody was sitting there going, do we want to put the, she's not going to be there. No, bring the chair. Let them think. You know?
I mean, yeah, I think they just set it up. And I'm sure they set it up in case he shows up, but apparently I was the only one expecting him to be there that morning. So apparently awesome. Everyone else knew Bill wasn't coming except for me.
the little bit.
What were the shows? What are some of the shows you've done?
I'm not allowed to talk about the ones I got coming out because I signed NDAs. Oh, okay. But like the biggest thing I've got out that you can see is a Ron Howard movie on Netflix called Hillbilly Elegy.
But, I can't imagine how you got cast in that. That's one of those breakdowns where you're like, yes, send me in, made for it. Like, I'm just waiting for them to remake the Mario movie. I'm like, send me in.
Before that, I talk about it on stage. I was also in a TV show called Swamp Murders on Investigation Discovery, and I'm like, okay. of course,
in Swamp made it into Swamp Murders. Fuck yeah, you did.
But yeah, I've got three TV shows and two movies that are coming out next year that I've got parts in.
That's awesome, man.
I'm really excited about it, man. It's like some of them are real fucking big that I'm hoping it, you know, changes the course of my career a little bit.
It really but might, you never man. Know. It
could come out and then nothing happens, but, you know.
I hate to say it, but we all deal with that all the time in that, you know, I mean, you really have to be, it has to be a hit project, you know, otherwise it just kind of, the digital pile is so deep and wide, it's tough these days, you know, even doing big projects that seem incredibly visible. I mean, I had a comedian buddy of mine, he did some movie with Tom Hanks where, you know, he's in the whole movie, like escorting him around in the Middle East, helping him try and find his daughter or something. And, you know, and I'm like, oh my God. And he worked, you know, day in, day out, weeks on end with him and Tom Hanks shooting this fucking movie. Movie comes out. I can't even tell you the name of the movie, you know, let alone what, you know, but I know it came out. I remember going, oh, I think that's that movie. And then it was like probably one of his least known movies. And so, you know, unfortunately, you know, while it looked like it was this golden ramp to the stars, you know, nobody saw it. So we deal with this. We do have to temper our expectations.
I understand that it was the girl from The King of Queens that had that whole thing, the whole Scientology thing. She was shut it down. She used her power in Hollywood. Never mind. He doesn't even know what I'm talking about, Greg. Go ahead.
I do. Leah Remini.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but she's trying to take it down. She tried to take down the whole movie and never made it. Adam, where are you going?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that the some of the projects are already really big. It's just a question of whether or not my role will even be noticed. Or, you know, my hope is that the snowball keeps growing. You know?
Oh, absolutely. That's the accumulation of projects is absolutely, I hope it does too, man. It sounds like you got a real run going. That's fantastic.
But don't you think that's what happens? I mean, it's a snowball effect. A lot of times, like, I know there's a lot of people I see on regular national TV commercials all the time. Like the guy who does the glass commercial is like an evil wizard, and he's like on 100 different fucking channels. You know what I mean? It's amazing. Hey, you know, there is somebody who's... Go ahead.
I just found out the reason Shaq is in so many commercials, because he's in like 110 of them, is because he invests in those companies.
Yeah.
And then
part of the general insurance and stuff like that.
Yeah. Part of the contract he has is that he gets to do a commercial for them. He's in like 300 of them.
Yeah.
I think the same is true of LeBron. Whenever you see, he doesn't spokesperson anything. If he's in a commercial for him, it's because he owns like part of the company. And, you know, so that's his way of being invested is, you know, he'll put his money in and be the face of it. He owns it. He owns a part of it.
Yeah. I love Shaquille O'Neal's commercial for Domino's where he comes in like the who's the boss or what's that, you know, undercover boss. And he comes in.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Papa John's.
You're right. Papa John's, he took that over. I love Shaq, man. Shaq's one of my favorite athletes of all time. But speaking of, you mentioned LeBron. What happened to LeBron last week? He had a fucking bet. Like, first of all, the week starts out with LeBron. He gives what's his name? A Detroit Piston, Isaiah Thomas, something like that. I'm trying to remember his name. I thought I'd written it down. He cheaped, like, I don't know. Greg, you're a sports, so you could talk about this, but he basically elbowed the guy. And I watched LeBron. I benefited from LeBron when he played for the Heat, had season tickets his entire run, even with Shaq. And then he has two fans kicked out of a game.
Yeah.
There's 2.5 minutes left in the game, and this guy's got to go over and have people ejected, regardless of whatever they said. No one has confirmed it. Somebody on Twitter said that, you know, oh, I heard him. The guy is nowhere in the photos who claimed to be sitting next to them, by the way, which has been already figured. And because he was even, someone said, hey, show us your ticket stub that you were sitting next to them and you heard this being said. It's hearsay. And then, of course, then he gets fined $15,000 for being vulgar on, you know, big NBA. I mean, what a week.
Yeah. You know what the thing is? I think they were originally, you know, obviously protect LeBron. He's, you know, part of the franchise. He's part of the, you know, the whole representative of the NBA. But I think what happened was, and maybe I'm crazy, but Sarah Spain, who's a commentator on ESPN, I believe, like, published this list of talking points ESPN sent out to its commentators about how to defend LeBron. And I think that kind of like made everybody look stupid. And then they decided they, you know, had to swing the pendulum the other way and be like, no, we treat LeBron like everybody else. Ah, see, fouled. No, we caught him, you know, bad guy, naughty LeBron. Ha, see, we're fair, we're even-handed. And I think it was just a lot of backtracking. I think they just kind of got caught like trying to defend him and realized they had to treat him like everybody else.
You mean that they actually
did? That elbow was nasty, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He said, did you watch the video?
Isaiah Stewart, I guess, was the dude's name.
Isaiah Stewart, yeah. Yeah, I mean, in one of his things, he said it was a glancing blow. It didn't look like a clean
up. Dude, I've seen less blood at a UFC match. Like, he was leaking everywhere. He elbowed him good.
He did. He got him good. And then he was like, oh, sorry, my bad.
How do you, my bad, like, wrecking a guy's eye socket? Like, he crushed that dude.
And, dude, you, how bad did Isaiah want to kick his ass? I mean, he went through the back. You know, because you know what he was thinking that whole time? He was breaking through everybody's, because why didn't I hit him when he was in front? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because he used better judgment. You know what I mean? Let's face it. But he, in his mind, he thought, I should have knocked him the fuck out right in front of everybody. Can you imagine? That's like that. He'd be like the Bubba Douglas of NBA. You know what I mean? He knocked out fucking Jordan. He's the Bubba Douglas of the NBA, man. Ah, I don't know. It. I think he's just.
You mean Buster Douglas, the guy that knocked out Tyson?
Buster Douglas. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Bubba Douglas is.
But and you know what? It seems like.
New Orleans.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, Mr. Bubba Douglas.
Yeah.
Blues man, Bubba Douglas, ladies and gentlemen. He got it all the way from Baton Rouge. Come on down now, make that blues song go bang bang. Here we go now, Bubba Douglas.
Oh, God, I bet I'm not the only one who's going, who's Bubba Douglas?
I know.
I was like, and then he said Jordan too, and I'm like, I think you mean Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson. I think that's you were all over the map with that one, but I was able to read your mind. I'm just stoned enough to be able to read through that.
I didn't want to tell you guys this, but I'm gonna play a game real quick. All right, fellas. I had an ailment that scared me. I thought I was going to go to the emergency room after Thanksgiving. I was in a lot of pain, and I thought I was going to. And our good friend Mike Hurley, he from Orlando, had just missed a show because he went to the hospital. No, I know it all will happen. So I'm thinking, oh, here's me. It's my turn. So I'm going to give you guys a couple symptoms, and I want you to guess what the hypocritical ailment is. Okay. All right. Ready?
You're gonna go right on a limb and say heart attack.
I wasn't doing so back in the late 90s. I might admit.
You mean hypothetical?
Like hypocritical? No. What am I thinking?
Hypothetical.
No, not hypothetical. Jeez, I guess shouldn't smoke before.
Ironic.
No. Hypochondriatic illness. That's what I was trying to say. The hypochondriatic.
Oh, okay.
Illness.
All right, yeah.
Hypochondriatic.
You're really good with the words today.
Yeah, I sound smarter than you. You know what I'm saying? Listen, you guys got the outline and everything, and I still can't figure out what I'm trying to say.
The best thing about a host is his vocabulary.
Yeah.
It's great use of words.
Well, you guys have to guess. So the symptoms were I was a little constipated. I don't know how often you guys do. Yeah, but I usually go every day, you know, in the morning. I have regular. That was the one thing. And then I started getting pain in my abdomen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pregnancy.
Yeah. Craig,
no, this is a classic. I know what this is. You have Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was the day after Thanksgiving, and I shoved my face.
You had Thanksgiving. That's all you had.
I thought my colon was compacted because I didn't feel like I wasn't going to shit. And I farted, and you would have thought I gave birth to baby Jesus because I was like, oh, my God, there's air coming out at least. So at any rate, it's been a rough few days for everybody here.
You were constipated.
Oh, no, but there was something going on. It was really painful. But now I feel
you
better.
You need more fiber is what it is.
Yes.
Drink a little prune juice and call me in the morning.
I need a little more water.
get that fiber stuff that you old people.
Yeah. I love that stuff.
I got to try that. Any rate, so it was a bad week for LeBron James. There's a new documentary out on the anniversary or what happened with Janet Jackson. You remember the world famous wardrobe mishap?
Oh yeah.
Who doesn't remember? You know, it's almost like when John F. K. was shot. Kennedy was shot. Where were you?
John F. K. You're like a Mad Libs. You're just looking words and throwing
I'm almost talking as if the final product of my voice text. It's like, what the hell is that?
I'm beginning to think it wasn't the voice text.
Yeah, I think I do have a colon blockage, and it's affected my brain right now. It's getting septic. But the Janis, obviously it was during the Super Bowl, right?
I remember it vividly.
Yeah, and the question is, do you think this was an accident, or you
never,
think it was
not one second, not for one second?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never thought that was an accident. Like
they were trying to be edgy. It had MTV. Go ahead.
It had a compartment that came off. Like it has a compartment.
Like it was velcroed on there. Yeah, like it was Velcroed on to be ripped off. And then if it was a malfunction, her titty would have popped out. But there was a like a star covering on it, like some kind of like piercing or something over the nipple. And I'm like, that isn't comfortable dance nipple attire unless you're planning to expose that sucker. And the whole thing for me was completely fixed from the very, from the jump, it seemed completely. I think they had to make up the malfunction when there was a bigger furor than they were expecting. I think they were, because it was MTV, MTV was producing it for the first time ever. And so they wanted to do something that people were gonna talk about clearly. So they created this moment, the shit turned on them, and they were like, oh, it's a malfunction. That was supposed to fucking happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good they call. Basically did like when the chick gets mad when you say something, oh, it's a joke. Come on, calm down.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Even Justin's look on that look like, you know, I mean, yeah, he had that. It was orchestrated. He had that look.
So yeah. I thought it was part of the act. Like, and now, titty, you know? And then they were like, oh my God, titty. And they're like, I mean, oh my God, titty! How did they? Why would they do that?
And that those lights came off perfectly. Like the timing on the light, it wasn't like somebody was trying to. Where's the fucking light switch?
Yeah,
fucking light off. Everything went off. It was like the final scene. It was like the final scene of The Sopranos. All of a sudden, everything just went black. By the way, do you believe Tony Soprano got shot at that moment in the final episode? Is that what you? Nah. Is that how you think it finished?
Nope.
I've never seen The Sopranos.
What?
What?
I know.
You're fired from the show.
HBO. I didn't have HBO. I've just recently got it. I need to watch. I mean, I just recently watched. Oh God, what's the?
Dude, you got Bo's headphones, but you don't have money for HBO.
It's a different generation, though.
I've just never had HBO. Like I didn't get to see Game of Thrones or anything like that. Like I just recently got to watch Breaking Bad. I just recently got to watch Breaking Bad during the pandemic.
There was somebody who watched that after I got to finally see it, because I thought I was one of the last people to catch it because I didn't ever.
Can I tell you, I watched the first season of it and I was like, I didn't give a fuck. And people were like, you sure? You got to keep going. Like, I gave it a whole season. I don't care. So.
Interesting.
Have you seen Ozark?
I started Ozark, saw the first, I don't know, say 2-3 episodes. Again, didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, you got to give that a whole season.
So good.
But Game of Thrones, on the other hand, I think is the greatest show ever made.
Oh, yeah.
Even with the ending?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Wrap it up.
I think there's a lot of truth to I mean, you mean the whole way that he ended up killing her in the end and the dragon takes her away?
I don't know what the ending is because I've never seen it. I just know everyone was all mad about the ending.
Oh, okay.
Well, every show that's huge, people are going to be mad about the ending. They're mad about the ending of The Sopranos. They're mad about the ending of Breaking Bad. They're mad about the ending of Dexter. Like, it doesn't matter what show it is because it never, exactly. No matter how the ending is, people hate it. And with Game of Thrones, you knew that, like, they'd been past the books. So Hollywood was kind of writing their own ending now. So it wasn't going to be as good as whatever ends up coming from R.R. Martin or whatever his name is. So because of that, I think for me, there was just an element of like, all right, pretty good. Yeah.
And wasn't there's a question of the darkness of the final battle, right? You couldn't see anything. And a lot of people, you know, for these high definition TVs, they were so dark that they couldn't see a lot of stuff. Or other people, if they had the contrast or something on the screen adjusted, you could have seen more of it. Because I remember watching it going, I don't fucking see nothing. I see a lot of like silhouettes like running around and fireballs and shit. Nevertheless.
Yeah, but the Battle of the Bastards from the season before that, I think is still probably the greatest cinematic, like, you know, cavalry horse, you know, attack war scene ever shot. Like I just unbelievable. Absolutely the best thing I've ever seen.
Absolutely. That's why it's an awesome movie. That another show that Adam, you're gonna have to watch if you stop filming all these big things you're doing. We were gonna talk about the shoplifting raids in LA and stuff like that, but I don't really think that matters. Here's things you need to know. Jesse Smollett trial begins.
I think we're getting pretty loose with the definition of need. to know.
Well,
I don't know why you need to know it, but
you know, it's a great story. And since this is we're stand-up comics, I'll share a story with you that relates to Jesse Smollett or Jussie Smollett, Buster Douglas, Bubba Douglas,
Bubba Douglas.
I was at the Zanies in downtown Chicago, and it was the middle of the week, and it was like a light show. And I told a couple jokes, and it seemed like maybe the crowd was a little woke, you know what I mean? So they didn't even let me get through the joke, and you could tell it was a little weird. And I just basically stopped and go, "Oh, that's right, we're in downtown Chicago. Isn't this where that fake hate crime didn't happen?" You know, some shit. And it was like, yeah, they're kind of like, oh, you know, really, like, well, fuck, let's be real here for a minute. What's interesting to me about this story was how desperate do you really need to be? Like, what causes somebody to go through this incredible orchestration? Is it one person's thought? You know, is it somebody that said, hey, I'm going to do this myself? And he hired those kids, the workout dudes to fucking act like they beat him up. You know, what do you think, there's more people involved with this thing, like, to orchestrate it?
Cocaine's a hell of a drug, man. This thing has cocaine written all over it. Because there's no sane, normal person that's going to fucking... And he's at the time that it happened, he was, like, at the height of his fame. Like, the show was very popular. What was it called? Not Power,
Empire.
But it's
Empire.
Empire. It was incredibly popular, and there was no need to do this. He didn't need a boost, you know. And then he decided to stage this whole thing. Like, no, that's coke talk right there.
So
never follow through on coke talk.
So according to you, Greg, he wanted a boost, or in this case, just another bump.
Classic wordplay, kids.
Yeah, there you go. Adam, would you do something like that to boost your career?
Fuck no. Like, are you kidding me? What kind of hate crime could I possibly stage on myself?
I watched one of your videos recently making fun of Republican trolls or something, and like you should maybe hire me. Hire me and a couple, you know, guy wearing MAGA hats, like grab you and, you know, take you and beat you up behind a fucking a dollar store or some shit.
You look like you would actually just accidentally be arrested for a hate crime based on the description. Like,
yeah. Like, we got the guy. Like, look at
exactly, we got the guy. Like, I don't know. You really? The description really? They hold just up a drawing. It's literally...
Two guys with MAGA hats beating the shit out of him. They come and arrest him. He's obviously
clearly he's the one committing the hate crime.
There's photos of him on January 6th. The trial that's also beginning is Ghislaine Maxwell. You know, which is interesting. I don't know if you read a little bit about this, but
is it Ghislaine? I thought it was Ghislaine. I don't know.
Ghislaine or Ghislaine. It's Ghislaine. Ghislaine. And, you know, I was reading part of the testimony and stuff. And, you know, the defense is pretty interesting because they're basically coming out and saying, look, you know, I know you wanted, you guys couldn't prosecute, you know, Jeffrey Epstein. You know, he's dead. You can't prosecute him. So you want to prosecute her for everything. And, you know, all I know is there's a lot of guys in Palm Beach saying, hey, my girlfriend's got a little extra cash right now. I don't know what she's doing. She's doing Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, that's what happened. That would be a funny reality show. Like, you know, you have the victims, like the young girls who, you know, had to stroke them, give them a massage and, you know, do a smoke them slow on them. You know, but it's not like this guy was Harvey Weinstein. Some of these women probably were like, all right, you know, I'm getting paid a few $100. You know what I mean? I know I'm only 15. Who knows, you know? I mean, it wasn't like the guy was a troll looking fella, you know. Greg's like,
you're making a really great case here. Are you trying to cancel yourself?
I'm trying to actually defend Jussie Smollett. I'm thinking like a defense attorney. since we're talking about
I mean, think about it, guys. Sure, they're underage, but clearly they wanted it. I mean, come on. The guy's a total nine. Look at that chin. I want to blow it. Are you kidding me? The defense rests. The defense rests. Like, what are you doing? You got one, and then you got one here. Good job. Come on out, Bubba Douglas. He's gonna sing us on out of this courtroom, Bubba Douglas. Exactly. The fuck is happening on this show?
Well, you know what? Shit. From there, we got to go right to the news as a joke, everybody, because I mean, with that kind of lead in. Hey, I don't know how funny this was, but Queen, which is one of my favorite bands of all time. I had three older brothers. I got into a lot of 70s, 60s rock.
Sure. That kind of shit.
And Queen was awesome. But Brian May speaks out against the Brit Awards gender inclusive categories. In other words, you won't recognize the greatest male singer and the greatest female singer. He's against it. Oddly enough, he played in a band called Queen, a bunch of guys. As you're thinking about gender, do you think and basically one of the quotes is that there's some things got to be fixed and some things that just should be left alone. Is this going nuts? I mean, you deal with a lot more in LA, I think, than maybe Adam and I deal with it. That kind of, you know, discussion of sexual, like our genders and all this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. Here in LA, they're a little overboard with it. I mean, come on. It's a little, it's like, really, guys, do we all have to? Like, I think you can tell I'm a him, he, hi.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm a guy. You know, but so they're a little overboard with it here. But I did notice he says in here, he goes, some of these things are an improvement, some of them are not. But I'm looking at this, I'm like, yeah, but I think this is one of those ones that's an improvement. Like, I don't think this is a bad thing at all. I mean, instead of just saying male or female, they're like, hey, here's the best artist of the year. And it's like, why not? You know, because when you say female versus male, it's like you're saying that a female couldn't be as great as a male, or male couldn't be, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what? I understand the point you're making, but I think this one is an improvement.
I definitely think, especially in the area of arts, right? Where this is, it's not like, sports. It's not
the
sports.
Gender means nothing. Yeah, it's not sports. It isn't athletic company. It's who is the best artist of the year. I think it's, and it's a better achievement for anybody who wins it, male or female. You know, I think separating them is kind of a weird old man 50s kind of way of listing it, you know? Yeah. And so I think it is an improvement. That's what I thought. I don't know.
It's almost like they're being charitable. Like, well, women couldn't possibly go against the men, so we'll give them their own.
I mean, especially not after Bubba Douglas won for best improv jazz album. No woman could compete with the masterwork of Bubba Douglas.
I don't have a segue to turn this into like saying how attractive pedophiles are, but I feel like now is our moment.
I mean, look at this guy. This guy.
I mean, can you see?
He is a, listen, he's an LA 9, a New England 15, which is the same age.
Who
liked his lady?
Who? This guy.
I jerked him off in the casket. Come on. This guy, and you're telling me it's a crime? It's a crime? You're just jealous. So bad.
And they're
all canceled.
At least a couple $100. Like, that's like, enough and for, like, one really nice dinner.
Hey, that's like
I remember when I was 15, I wish somebody would have paid me $500 because I could have.
I can't even get money that to headline $500. That's headlining money.
If you guys want to call this a crime, then
well,
you're a bunch of socialists.
If you want to get $500 to headline, you know what you need to do.
You need to move to a city with better better clubs.
That's good. Hey, by the way, our producers, make sure we tag that for the highlight reel, of course. That's the funniest thing that'll happen on this show for a long time. Our next story, a Texas woman was found dead 2 days after she signed a $250,000 life insurance policy. Nobody will get suspicious.
My favorite part about that whole thing is you're like, you know what? We should show more people the whole, saying that pedophiles are our sexy thing. Like, that's gonna be our highlight reel. All right.
Yeah, well, that's the clip. That's what I was thinking. On the part about jerking off Jeffrey Epstein in a coffin, that's the highlight? Great. Perfect. Be sure and tag me and my comedy school.
Yeah. Let's not try to bury when I was saying how, like, who wouldn't want to jerk off Epstein? They should be grateful. Let's just highlight. Let's show everybody.
You guys are definitely embellishing my feelings here. So, anyway. Let's get back to the story. A Texas woman was found dead 2 days after she signed a $250,000 life insurance policy, and her husband has been charged with the murder. No one gets suspicious. I mean, how stupid must you be to go ahead and kill? Like, did he hire a killer, and the killer says, hey, listen, if we could do it in the next week, I'll charge you half. All right, let's do it.
This guy, listen. The best part is that the insurance policy was like out on the table. This guy, he was so eager to kill her that he just, like, she signed it and he's like, thank you.
Dude, if you read the article, he had bullets like on him.
In his pockets. Yeah.
Yeah, he had it in his pockets. Like, they'll never check those. Yeah. That's the perfect place. I don't know how those got there. Like,
yeah, he had the gun loaded, and he even had the insurance agent's card right next to the policy to fucking call it in.
This guy, I mean, all I could tell you is, I mean, how much nagging does it take?
Yeah. How dare you? How dare you, Greg, try to blame this on the woman?
Let's put this on the highlight reel. Hey, the highlight reel is about how Greg blames the woman for being murdered because women just complain too much. Oh, my God.
This is going to be a compilation video of it. It's funny. Trust me. All right. Let's move
and
on.
We are, and
so far, we are just coming out of this not canceled.
Yeah, I think
the
you guys.
Only one. Not canceled so far.
I think Greg lives in LA too long. He's seen too much of it, and Adam hasn't watched TV in 3 decades, so he doesn't know at this point. North Korea bans leather coats after Kim starts new fashion trend. He calls it no fonzie. No fonzie. No coats. No leather coats. I mean that's a dictator. You know, no food.
Did you see?
No water.
Did you see the leather coat, though? It's every leather coat you've ever seen. Like, it's a trench coat. And he's like, no one's allowed to wear these ever again. It's crazy.
Yeah, apparently it's an insult to the highest dignity. Although that's what his highest dignity or whatever, to copy his jacket. I got to be, this is surprising even for Kim Jong-un. For me, this was something I expected, like, you know, Trump's second term. That's what I thought we would see. Someone the banning something because it's their look.
I mean, of all the things to ban, like a trench coat, why not ban skinny jeans? Like, why not ban something
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Or, ban pleated pants.
Yes.
No pleats allowed in North Korea.
Crocs.
Once you have three pleats, you're sailing in a sailboat. But if they're going to ban something in North Korea, they need to ban those big ass military hats, because we all know they're trying to hide something. They're overcompensating. You know the military hats. I should ask my producer. You ever see the military? You guys, when you get a chance, military hats. You know, there's something, but they come up. They look like they're big woks. Look like they're big, like skillet walks, and they got the fucking maybe our producer could pull one up and show us before the end of the story.
I'm trying to look one up right now.
I just recently watched coincidentally enough on
North Korea.
And did you know how hard it is to get a driver's license there?
Where?
Like it said, takes a full in North Korea. It's being a driver there, like someone who drives people around, is akin to being like a doctor. It takes a full year, and you have to like study, and you have to learn how to take the car entirely apart and put it back together again. There's almost no one that is licensed to drive in North Korea. And so at the gas stations, they have like super hot chicks there to pump gas just to try to entice people to go to their gas station because there's not a ton of people who actually drive.
I wonder how many Uber drivers in this country, I wonder how many Uber drivers in this country would have to fucking be able to build a car apart and take it apart and put it back together before they got a job.
I tell you what, most of them would be executed if they were North Korean.
Oh, yeah.
They would just be like, oh, yeah, no. That's it.
Plus,
I am looking at the military hat right now, and you're right. It looks like they taped a brim onto a wok.
They look like salad bowls, you know, for
yeah, fucking. It's crazy. Like, there's a, and then they just put a brim right on it. Like, yeah, there's your fucking hat.
Yeah, don't worry about the leather coat. Worry about the,
it's yeah, hat. That is pretty silly. Everybody enjoy looking that up.
Yeah. Thank you. Senior citizen charged with having unnatural sex with a goat. Well, again, let me try to think in the defense. But you know, he was a senior citizen. You know what I mean? You know, he's old.
And what's the natural way of doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a senior citizen. He should be able to have sex with any farm animal he wants. That's the most
Floridian thing I've ever heard you say.
Again, I'm just trying to think like a defense attorney. You take on these cases.
Look, here's what they're ignoring. The goat wanted it. Like, it would.
Look how attractive that guy is. Wouldn't you want to be fucked by that dude? That's a goat.
Oh, listen, exactly. There's no mystery when you hear, hey, you know what's up.
Listen, all I know is that goat
is hanging around on it. The craziest part of that whole story is the goat died. Like, what kind of thunder cock is that guy rocking? Like, what were you doing that the goat died? Like, that's insane.
I was actually glad. I didn't want the goat to have to live with that.
Yeah. Yeah, the goat could make fun of him, you know. The guy was 60. That's not really a senior citizen. Like, if the guy was 78 or 80, that's, you know, but the guy was 60. You know, 60s.
Well, you gotta think it's still old enough, but young enough to be able to really fuck a goat to death.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, you're right. Like,
he was putting in some work for sure.
You're right. He's 60, but in goat years, he's 140. I don't know if that goes to the right thing. And here's a story. Hypocrisy award of the day. German euthanasia clinic.
Are you sure that's the word you want this time?
Yeah. If you didn't notice, I thought about it for a second. German euthanasia clinics refusing unvaccinated customers. Yeah. Listen, we're going to help you kill yourself, but don't come in here with COVID. Hey, the Germans.
It makes no sense.
I mean, are they being a little too particular? The guy, you know, you're gonna give the guy a drip that's gonna make him go nighty night, but they don't want him to have COVID.
By the way, these hats look like something out of like Spaceballs.
Yeah, there it is. There's the wok with the brim.
So big. Remember in Spaceballs and all their helmets?
Yeah, they had the giant. Yes, absolutely. That's a bomb ass reference right there.
I can't believe that's real. Like, that's hilarious.
Listen, you guys would have laughed if you'd have known those fucking hats before I told my joke.
That's why I had to look it up. I was like, what is he talking about?
You know what those hats are for? The North Korean army thought if you ever get tossed onto your head, you'll be able to stand up straight like a ketchup bottle.
I love that those things off and they're like hiding like a giant Rastafarian fro in there or something.
I love that you drifted into the Asian accent and then was like, Yeah, maybe we'll just back right out of there.
Was Doug doing an Asian accent?
Just for 1 second, for half a second, he was like, well, they put you on your head. I just think it's hilarious that you can't
I'm not going to be doing a fucking, you know, like a Southern accent.
I know, but it's like, remember, like, you know, this is how far we've come from when Mickey Rooney played a Chinese person in, what was that movie? The Chase movie? Yeah, and he's wearing the buck teeth and the glasses, big,
You want to tell?
Yeah, it was so bad. It was, and now
are we going to reunite for when we have to do like an apology tour after this? Like,
I think we almost have to. I think we'll. I just you guys, we shoot it the same way. I think it'll work.
Just stop being such pussies, okay? We're non-cancelable. We can't be canceled.
I'm just joking. I just thought it was adorable.
Now we're going to end because you guys. We're going to end because I know Greg is a big sports fan and stuff.
Yes,
so
I'm missing Monday Night Football for this.
I want to end with a story of a man. This is a sports story. The guy broke a record recently, and I figured this is something you probably heard about, being that you're so in tune with the sport world.
My favorite thing about this story, if I may, I just want to read his hope, his statement. Of inspiration for those that would want to follow in his footsteps. So before we realize the magnitude of his achievement, I just want to read what he said. I just want to show them that everything can be achieved if you set your mind to it. That in life, nobody gives you anything. That I have been very lucky, but that this is because I have looked for it. Luck does not come by itself. You find it, and if you set your mind to it and fight for your dreams, the doors and roads become easier.
Did he count Mount? Did he climb Mount Everest? Did he scale?
No, he managed to purchase 1,230 different soccer balls. That's right. Look at this. What an achievement. How did he do it? It's almost like he had
second
to
place
look
for
goods. Soccer balls and then pay for them. The guy is a fucking hero. A goddamn fucking hero.
the guy actually read a lot of Tony Robbins books, and he also had broken the record with his wife, divorced him faster than anybody because of his soccer ball. I mean, you're right. You would thought the guy, scaled the Himalayas, but he went out.
Exactly. He makes it sound like he really overcame some great obstacles to achieve this, when in fact, you know, all he had to do was just sit there and buy soccer balls. Like, they're just, you know, I mean, this really, I feel like, can be achieved in almost anything. Like, that's it. I'm going to start buying something stupid that nobody else has too much of. And you're going to get yourself in a mess if you go after the Star Wars world. You're never going to beat some of these Star Wars collections. Yeah. That would take some effort. But I love the snow idea. Globes. I think you were right. Snow globes is the way to go.
I love the idea of him getting a divorce and, like, you know, that chick doesn't give a shit about soccer balls, but she's still going to be like, I want 615 of those motherfuckers. Like, just to fuck up his record.
Right. The divorce papers is like, no, and I'm taking the Guinness Award with me.
Like, yes.
This don't mean shit anymore, does it? Mr. 683's the winner again, you motherfucker.
She can definitely be the first woman on earth to get divorced and rip off his balls.
I was really, can I be honest? I was wondering who would do the balls joke first. I was like, it's sitting out there. I was like, it's going to take a lot of balls. Like, you know, I was waiting. None of us picked that low hanging fruit. We all left it right there. Dougie was like, oh, are we leaving? Just add my way out the door. Let me,
Listen.
She kicked him right in the balls.
I don't know if you saw the movie with Rodney Dangerfield, The Ladybugs. You know, he was the coach.
When he was the coach, he's like, I got a lot of balls. Yeah.
All I know is I got a lot of balls.
Yeah.
He was going to be 100. It was a few weeks ago. They posted he would have been 100 years old, Rodney, this year. Speaking of that, not to bring things down, but judges thought about it, thinking of death, but Florida comic, magician, great dude, kid, Matt Price passed. It was a really tough story to see that kid. That kid loved his shit, man. You know what I mean? Great guy. And he went to LA with Preacher Lawson, and they wanted to, you know, get their stuff going. And
he was living in his car for a little while, actually, with another. I just recently found out that he was actually living in his car with another comedian. And they would park by like the river or something at night, and then they would drive to open mics during the day. And I guess he started to become successful enough busking that he was able to get a place. And then he, recently he was living with like Preacher's brother and Akeem and Ruben and them. They all have like a house. And I guess he was on his walk. And someone, I think, tried to rob him or someone else near him, and he got shot in the process.
That's
fucking terrible, man. The dude was the nicest guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that hurt. I mean, I worked with him a few times, and then you watch, like you said, his progress. You know, I knew you could tell what he was going through to do what he wanted to do, and it was just inspirational to watch the kid do it. And just wanted to mention him here on the show because, Matt, we're thinking about you. Much like that, my career. After I get canceled after today's show, I just want to be clear that my comment regarding Jeffrey.
Please, wait. Yeah, I was gonna say, let me just hand you this shovel and dig away, my man.
I just want to let everybody understand that or comprehend that I was coming from the perspective of a defense attorney, and. You'll think about a TV show about all the guys who are dating the girls or never mind. There's a lot of people wondering.
I mean, digging, huh? You're gonna hit China soon, brother. You're gonna dig.
We're just bringing the backhoe and really make this. Yeah.
Really get deep in. Really make a home. Woo! Can't cancel me from down there.
Anyway, I'm just glad the guy killed himself. And nobody has to worry, by the way, with this trial. It doesn't seem that anybody's going to be discussing who else was around and taking the trips and stuff. But, you know.
I don't know that someone that attractive would kill themselves. Let's be honest.
Yeah, got a lot to lose. Well, while we're at that, do you guys think since we're talking about theory, did you guys think he killed himself or he was killed? Which one? I mean, he had a lot of dirt on a lot of people, and a lot of people seem to think that just Lane has a lot of that dirt on people, and that may affect what happens in her trial. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Adam.
I highly doubt it, honestly. Like, apparently he used to videotape people, so he had like evidence on a lot of really powerful people. So I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. But we'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know. But I mean, yeah, it's one of those ones. You know, when it looks suspicious, it is suspicious. I mean, where there's, you know, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. I mean, all those things that had to kind of happen for it to. No, come on, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, come on. Just be honest about what you see. You know what I mean? You look at it, you're like, yeah, this smacks of he got fucking killed in jail. This is what happens. You know? Yeah.
he was silenced. That's the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, to think powerful people don't do that kind of thing is pretty naive, in my opinion. You know, and so
supposedly, even when they were taking him down, carting him out, they were looking at him, going, "This is a great looking dude. I would have jerked him off. Like, come on." He's
That's what handcuffs. I have to put handcuffs on his hands.
It's not unnatural. He's dead already. Yeah. Come on.
Hey, when we arrest him, can we take his pants off?
Let's see what he's working with there. Oh, yeah, that explains.
That explains why so many people.
That
explains
sense.
Why he had his own island. Bulldog's now we know why exactly. He's on island.
That explains anyway, why he walked around with tweezers. All right.
Well, anyway, gentlemen, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Greg Wilson and Adam Murray for joining me today on this.
Can I do a plug? Can we do a plug? Can I do a plug
real quick? Yes, please.
Really quickly, I recently launched. I started teaching stand-up years ago because, you know, a lot of veteran comics weren't. And now many more do, and I think that's a really great thing. And I recently put my joke writing class online. It's at comedyinstitute.teachable.com. And for if someone watching this show actually wants to be a comedian or wants to learn a little bit more about punchline dynamics, joke structures, something like that, please check it out. I created a coupon code Dougie50 to get 50% off on the workshop. And it's that coupon is good through the end of the year. So there you go.
Yeah, or until I get canceled, then it's worth. Then they charge you twice.
Exactly, that is worthless, and it'd be worthless for me too because I think I'm going down with you.
Well, then you could just attribute it to a different Dougie. Ah, that was Dougie Henson. I would love it if you guys looked me up on YouTube. I've been trying to grow my YouTube for a while now, and I think I'm over.
Right on.
3,000 or something.
Nice.
Subscribers on, maybe closing on 4,000.
That's what it's all about.
I would love it if one or two more here and there, it helps.
That's right. And if I could, on IG at Greg Romero Wilson, I post new stand-up clips every weekday.
Funny as shit too, by the way. And I think it's great you got to do that, because every time before, right in the middle, just before I sell my merch, I always mention I started doing it consistently, you know what I mean? I kept saying, you can follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram. And I ended up bringing like 500-800 new followers in the last 8 months, just from doing that. That's what it's all about. It's about a following. Speaking of following, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. And of course, follow me at Funny Fiduciary on Twitter and all that shit and everything else. You guys see the tickers on the bottom.
Yeah, and, that's the easiest handle in the world to spell, I imagine. Funny Fiduciary. It's just... Yeah.
Is there a D?
You got to get old Bob and Douglas. And you catch me at the new tour with Bob and Douglas. Opening it up and rhyming. And
the Bob and Douglas tour with the Funny Fiduciary.
Get out of here, Funny Fiduciary.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Well, gentlemen, it has been a hoot, fellas. Thank you so much for being on the show, and I look forward to seeing you all very soon, everybody. And like we said, thanks to our guest, Greg Wilson and Adam Murray, two funny fellas. Go follow them on Instagram and all that. And that's it, guys. We'll be back next week with an all-new new show. And until then, I'm not going to smoke before the show and make sure I get my moral compass in line. Talk to you soon, everybody. God bless. Yeah!